So let me just say again that you were talking about this mantra, this wazifa, for the sake of the recording, because I stopped it. I'm starting it again. Yadal Jalali Wali Krum.
Right.
It brought up...
brought up the illusions of my ego,
mm-hmm.
things that I have been thinking and, shall we say, hoping, wishful thinking, and I could see that that was illusionary.
Yeah.
So now I have an understanding of that. That has taken me deeper within myself and connected me to a presence of golden light.
Mm.
Then during the mantra started to flow, and then up came the dark block.
Yeah.
Several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious because I've known about them for quite some time, but then you don't know what to do or anything like that. And they didn't come up in an appropriate manner where you did have the opportunity to address them or know what to do. So now this is the appropriate manner. So the question is, in order to move through the blocks, is it the reciting of the mantra, or is there something else in order to move through the blockages?
I think certainly the recitation of any sacred phrase or prayer is a great blessing and healing, and it can help you with that. There are also some beautiful practices that are purification breaths that I can share with you after the class if you'd like.
Directed towards the blockage?
Well, see, again, when you say that, now you're kind of implying a will there. And I think why we want to be attentive, we don't want to get engaged in the ego there also, where we're saying, I'm going, you know, I think being mindful of it, observing it, what is it teaching you? What is it showing you? You know, mom always had some great phrases for us. One of them was, don't burn your bridges behind you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which I think is a really good one. Because we can turn it into kind of self-loathing or self-judgment if we if we're not careful, you know. So I think it's just being mindful of it and what's being revealed, what's it showing us. It's something that can teach us. It's something that was there that perhaps protected us, helped us get through something, but maybe it's revealing itself because we just don't need it anymore. And I don't know that we ever want to get rid of anything. We certainly want to transform it. And as we are transforming it, as we're releasing it, I often visualize, and I share that with you if it's of any benefit, it's like releasing the energy of it so that the energy can be used in another way in the universe.
Right. That's how I perceived it.
Right. And that's beautiful. And just keep at that. And this practice can help you. If it facilitated that occurrence, then it would be a good practice to continue with.
Well, I've known that it was a protection in childhood.
Sure.
Because I had to protect myself.
Yeah.
In a certain negative situation.
So sure.
Obviously, it's of no use, but it's still biologically and...
right.
Psychologically there.
Sure,
so now
sure.
It's time to move beyond it. And so thank you for the opportunity to see that.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing that, because I think that's something really important. I think as we, I think everyone in this room can say to a smaller or greater extent, we all had things, wounds from childhood. Mm-hmm. This isn't blaming anyone. This isn't saying that anybody did something wrong. Some parents are unskillful in their parenting, that's for sure. And some parents can be abusive, we know that. But at the same time, as we grow up and we grow older, I think a great thing that we can do is to truly forgive them and understand that that was a brokenness within them, perhaps. But also, we can say, now, as an adult, how do I wish to parent myself? How do I reparent and repattern myself? In a way, to blame our parents is to constantly keep ourselves stuck, mm-hmm. and to not allow ourselves to grow. to blame someone for that, for anything, is giving your power to that person or people. It's a process. It doesn't happen in a moment. It doesn't happen with my words. It happens with continual mindful attention to it. Here it is again. I'm going into my helplessness. I'm going to blame other people for it. But ultimately, be your best friend. Be your parents. Be the best you can be so that you can give that gift to other people.
That's where a deep sense of respect comes in. If you don't respect yourself enough, what good is it? I mean, developing the deepest sense of self-respect heals yourself so you can heal the world around you.
Right, that's right.
And give of the deepest sense of love from where respect is.
Right.
To yourself and then radiate, as you said before.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
And sometimes it's not just something that goes back to blame. I mean, you know, something that can happen. You know, I can see myself. I died, and, you know, I was really close to him, and he died on the day of the funeral. I went up, we had a big landing, and at my grandma's house, I was sitting there, and I was crying. I wasn't getting much comfort. And see, all through life, I feel like, but the thing is, that wasn't because of my mother and her 10 sisters and brothers, my aunt. That was, I could see that, you know, like even mother says, things happen, and they happen to teach you a lesson.
That's
right. And that lesson it taught me is how when other things are happening, even now, lately even.
That's right.
For some old ladies like me, they wouldn't have gotten through some of the things I've gotten through. And I know, and they even told me, oh, I'd have had a heart attack if I had to do that. So see, they did it to make me strong.
So maybe we get back to the practice, and we would move on, because I'm looking at my clock, and it's almost 3:00, and I haven't gotten through only 1/3 of the teaching today. So I want to move through that, if we can, and at the same time, I want to thank everyone for their comments, because I think we all learn from that. But let's be, I want to be considerate towards the time. So let's just go back to this wazifa. Let's just say it 11 times, maybe a little faster. Yadaljalaliwalikrum. 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 Yadal Jalali Wali Krum. Okay. We'll be stealth. We have just a little bit more to cover, but I want to get through it all. If you can stay with me, is it all right? Back to the reading of Hazrat Anayat Khan, our Murshid. Very often, conflict between religions have arisen because people who respected their own religion, I'm looking at this teaching and somehow a piece of it's missing. Isn't that interesting? Do you have it? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. It's quite small.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bring it out small.
It's okay. I can see it. Very often, conflicts between religions have arisen because people who respected their own religion looked with contempt at the religion of another. We know that's so true. Even we see this in our world today. Very often, conflicts between religions have arisen because people who respected their own religion looked with contempt at the religion of another. If one did not respect one's friend religion, one could at least respect one's friend. And out of respect for the friend, regard his religion respectfully. Very often, with all love and devotion and sincerity, friendship breaks only owing to disregard on the part of one or the other of the law of respect. Did you hear that? Very often, with all love and devotion and sincerity, friendship breaks only owing to disregard on the part of the one or the other of the law of respect. So again, we come back to this idea of respect. Thank you so much, Krima Gita. And, you know, this was, I think this was one of the greatest parts of Murshid's message. He so often said, this isn't a new religion, this is a message for all of humanity, where we come to know and respect diversity and unity in that diversity. He says, how boring would it be if we all had the same face? We wouldn't even recognize each other. So why should we expect everyone to be like us, or to act like us, or to worship like us? It's so beautiful to learn from others and not have to be catalyzed as this is right and that is wrong. So there's a practice that I'd like for us to do. And again, those in our circle, I'll be sending this out, and it'll also be, we'll publish this online, you know that. But it's this practice, salam, 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 ya salam, O divine peace. And from the physicians of the heart, it says, as-salam is the one who's peaceful. Oh, so many people say, I want peace, I just want peace, I just want to be peaceful. Have you ever said that to yourself? Oh, I just wish I had some sense of peace. Well, this is it. This is your chance. As-salam. As-salam is the one who's peaceful. It is the maqam. Maqam means spiritual station of complete peace. Where this perfect peace is embodied is in every peaceful act. So it's in a peaceful act. It's not necessarily passive. And it's not dead. This divine quality is recommended as a greeting when meeting others. And its recitation is an antidote for disharmony in our relationships. So if there's disharmony, just say quietly to yourself inwardly, Ya Salam, Ya Salam. Giving into the atmosphere this peace. And not imposing. You know, somebody else might be out here doing all of this. You just keep it inside, radiating this peace. They may be yelling and screaming and accusing you, whatever. Just stay in that peace lagoon. You know, it's like that beautiful, you know, have you ever seen a lily pond? The water's rather still. The lilies don't like that much movement, but they just sit there floating on the top of that water. Very beautiful, very open. Also the same day, I think, Mom, you and I went to the market of the an Arab market, and the people all coming and going to each other, and there were some young men having tea outside. Every time someone walked up, as-salam, 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 and it's part of the culture, part of the culture. Very beautiful. So the peace of as-salam is not a dead peace. Nor should it be seen as simply the end of hostilities. Again, it's all a process. Us working through our things, us working through things with others is a process. So nor should it be seen as simply the end of hostilities or any kind of mere cessation. It is the divine energy that bestows peace itself on us. And it is the miraculous word that God speaks to our souls. It's the miraculous word that God speaks to our souls. Think of that. Think about the gentleness, the quietness, the simplicity, and the absolute sort of peace of even seeing an infinite sleep in its sleep. So new to the world, having come from the spheres of, we could say that zot, the essence now into form, and that baby in that deep sleep, you know, you can just see a kind of sublimity or a smile on their face. It's like God is whispering to their soul, manifesting through their being this peace that they've come from, that quietude. So with salam, the emphasis is on the last part of the word lam, lam. So let's recite this together. Ya salam, 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 ya salam. Now we just whisper the word salam. Salam. Just allow it on the breath, breathing in and out. Feeling of peace, equanimity, harmony. Murshid says this is an end to disharmony, disharmony, discord. But harmony, you remember, does not come from everyone playing the same note. It's from everyone having their own note, but blending with each other. Just like respecting differences. So we have one last little piece here, another beautiful Wazifa will come with it. Murshid asked us, what is worship? And he said, worship is not dancing before God. Worship is an act of respect offered to God, to whom all respect is due. The man who worships God and disrespects man worships in vain. His piety is his mania. I've said it before, the is that the mailman? Excuse me. Whoops. Ya salam. Ya salam. He's our great protector. It's okay, baby. What a good boy. You're welcome to take a chair there if you wish. So again, Murshid's talking about what is worship in relationship to respect. Worship is not dancing before God. Worship is an act of respect offered to God. Offered to God, to whom all respect is due. The man who worships God and disrespects man worships in vain. His piety is his mania. Merchant often says that a tender-hearted sinner is preferred to one that's hardened by their own piety. A tender-hearted sinner. I think he even says the company of a tender-hearted sinner is preferred to the one that's hardened by piety. And we've said it before, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. A true worshiper of God sees God's presence in all forms, and thus, in respecting others, he respects God. It may even develop to such an extent that the true worshiper of God, the omnipresent, walks gently on the earth, bowing in his heart even to every tree and plant. And it is then that the worshiper forms a communion with the divine beloved at all times, when he is awake and when he is asleep. When he is awake and when he is asleep. There are some Sufi organizations that watch the dream world very carefully. It's interesting. And Pir Vilayat often quoted the great Sufi mystic Bastami by saying, "Am I a man dreaming I'm a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming I'm a man?" Have you ever done that? I was telling Joe, I actually had some challenging dreams this week. And I think in the dream world, I woke myself up 5 times, but still knew I was asleep, you know. And Joe even came to me in the dream world, and I said, "Now I know I'm asleep." And he said, "No, you're awake." I said, "I think I'm still asleep. Pinch me, see if I can feel it." So you know how you can do that. There can be many levels, and then when you wake up, it's like, am I really awake? Right? It's a good question. Are we really awake? So, and Murshid says this in such a beautiful way, that the true worshiper of God walks gently on the earth, bowing in his heart even to every tree and plant. And my goodness, we know, especially where science is really making it very painfully aware to us, that, you know, the delicate balance of the ecosystem, you know, how we rely on plants so much for, you know, this whole process that allows us to breathe, and it allows them to take elements out of the air that perhaps we don't want, and we need the honeybees and the pollination of seeds and so forth and so forth. It's all interconnected, as the Buddhists would say. It's all interconnected. So there's this beautiful practice, Shahid Kabir. Shahid, again, emphasis on Eid, Shahid, Ha. And that's a K-H-A sound. It's not something we make here in our English language, but let me just, and you might struggle with it, but it's okay. I want you to try a little bit to say that, like, feel that in the back, almost like you're kind of trying to clear your throat. Do you see what it's vibrating? Not only at the back of your throat, but do you feel it anywhere else? You feel it there, like it's lifting maybe the lid off the heart. Okay, what else? Inside. Yes, that's exactly right. Feel it on the palate, at the back, the soft palate. This is a very important center to vibrate. It makes the vibration go up into the higher centers. It opens that throat center, which is the center for the Holy Spirit to come. And it opens, it vibrates various subtle centers, but also, you know, it helps to stimulate the pineal gland and the hypothalamus, which is also the things that we know in meditation get stimulated to give one a sense of peace and calm. So this Kabir Shahid. Now let me talk about a little bit, and again, these are the words from Physicians of the Heart. We always have reference to these text, and we also have them here at the center. So first, they talk about Shahid. A Shahid is the quality that expresses God's witnessing all things without limitation. So this open awareness, this witnessing, we see it all. We see it all. We don't see it in its limitation. We see it in sort of naked, open awareness. It is the whole realm of outer knowledge. The whole realm of outer knowledge that is perceived by the five senses. So this isn't necessarily an inner knowing. This is an outer knowing that we it's experiential. Okay? Human beings who fully reflect this quality are able to witness whatever arises in their perception without prejudice. I think this is a very important point. I've had some people at various meditation retreats say, I remember I was very touched. This one woman, in all her sincerity, said she felt extremely vulnerable because she felt people around her were intuitive and saw things about her she wished they didn't see. And I said to her, if they see them, they're not judging you. People aren't given that gift of sight if they're judging. They're given the gift also of compassion and understanding and love. If there's any sense of judgment, it's falling into the nafs or their own ego. But Shahid has this equanimity of seeing everything without judgment, experiencing everything without evaluating it. This is good, this is bad, I like this, I don't like this. Kabir is how often it is said, but now we know Kabir. Ya Kabir is recommended for accentuating subtle openings. Kabir. Subtle openings in the realm of inner knowledge. Okay? So this isn't something we experience with our outer senses. It's something that comes from an inner knowing, an awakening. Al-Kabir includes the realm of inner knowledge. It is the depth of insight that penetrates into the most secret and buried places. Like this golden key that opens this inner knowledge. the form kabara means to test something, to test it, to make a trial of a thing. Who wants that? But you see, there's always a little price to pay, but in a good way. Okay, so there's this trial. To experiment with anything in order to know its inner reality or essence. Again, we come back to that word dat, the zat. Okay. And to know the nature of its connection with reality. Yahak. Al-hak. Again, that sound. A kind of divine testing of the outer information is attained by the five senses. You are able to gain knowledge of reality of the unseen inner state. What is being tested is the veracity or correspondence between your inner and your outer state. Okay? So you're constantly, it's a constant checking, it's a constant balancing. Okay? It's a good thing to do that, because I think sometimes when we open up to these inner realms, this inner knowledge, if we don't test it, balance it, one could fall into a kind of mania. We see that happen. Believe me, I have seen this happen. And it can fall into a kind of schizophrenia. So we want to always be very careful and very balanced. We want to check. We want to test. We don't want to get into delusions of grandeur, of I'm right, you're wrong, whatever. It's all a matter of balance. So we're seeking this inner knowledge that then informs our senses. When we experience things, we experience them with equanimity, without this sense of limiting judgment, which can be so hurtful, don't you think? Openness, divine mind. So, would you like to do this practice together? All right. When we do it, we're going to begin, although it's introduced with Shahid Kabir, we're going to begin it with Kabir Shahid. And why are we doing that? Kabir. We're opening up to this inner knowledge and Shahid as a divine witness. Okay? So we're bringing this higher knowing, this inner knowing, this divine knowing to bear witness to what we're seeing. Okay, we ready? Another journey. Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid. And I might say, you may like to just slightly, I know we did this with another Wazifa during the Wazifa retreat with Murshid Wali Ali over Labor Day weekend. And it was a coupling of another Wazifa with Shahid. But he said, as you say Shahid, you might just want to slightly open your eyes, become present to the world around you. It's beautiful. You go to the inner knowing, and then you open your eyes. Slightly, just slightly. You don't, no need to be wide-eyed, you know, like, but just a gentle presence to the senses. Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid, Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid, Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid. Listen to everyone in the room, harmonize. Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid, Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid, Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid. Ya Kabir, Ya Shahid, Ya Kabir, Yashahid, Yachavir, Yashahid, Yachavir, Yashahid, Yachavir, Yashahid. And as we continue, as you work with the sound Khabir, sort of feel that vibration come up and let your eyes go upward when they're closed and then descend and open slightly on the Shahid. So let us continue. Ya Khabir, Ya Shahid. Ya Khabir, Ya Shahid, 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 Ya Khabir, Ya Shahid. And now whisper just the words Khabir and Shahid. Khabir, Shahid. And may I suggest that as you say the word Khabir, you breathe in Khabir and breathe out Shahid on your breath. Khabir, Shahid, Khabir, Shahid, Khabir, Shahid, Khabir, Shahid, Khabir, Shahid. Fall into just the breath, no sound. Breathing in Khabir and out Shahid. So for the benefit of those that are tuning into the broadcast, I want to say that I'd like for you to be aware that there's a 15-second lag between what's happening here and when you're hearing us. So I see that some people have made comments, and I have not seen them because perhaps we were involved in a practice. So I'd like to share some of those with others. People are sending greetings, of course, from the U.S. and abroad. And someone says, two similar sounds can cause disharmony, whereas two different sounds can cause harmony. That's from Alima in the Netherlands. That's certainly true. We know that. Wahaba, who's in New York, says, I've always felt it in the lower part of the middle of my head. I think this is perhaps referring to Kabir. And then Alima in the Netherlands says, it's a long, long way to be able to use the gift of seeing without judging. And that relates to what we were talking about. And she also says, one needs loving guidance in order to polish it. And we know that's true also. May we all be graced with that loving guidance, inner and outer. Would anyone like to contribute here anything of that experience or what came up for you? And we'll try to be patient and wait a 15 seconds to see if anyone's typing something from the broadcast. I agree. Yeah, I could feel that.
Into space.
Yeah.
Upward. Yeah.
And then did it.
To bring it down.
Yeah.
To use the eyes also. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Use the eyes to support that, because it really does. I think in terms of knowledge, too. You know, it's that our eyes are connected with sight, but by turning them up further, that experience of bringing that out into the world.
Did anyone experience a kind of light? Sometimes it can be a very soft light that one can perceive. And then bringing that act of sort of bringing that light, you know, they call it the light of knowledge, right? Or the light of the philosopher's mind. But, you know, that just bringing that light. You know, Murshid Sam said, I will know them by the light in their eyes. You know, and it's not just sparkling light, but it's the light that can illuminate. It's almost like illuminating the path ahead of us or around us, or shining that light on others so that they can see themselves. Yeah.
Good change in the head.
Yeah.
I've been told when you face your eyes upwards at an angle, it stimulates the pituitary.
Yeah. The pituitary, the pineal gland, the hypothalamus gland, all of those get stimulated.
My head feels softer for some reason. Yeah. They might turn into mush.
No, but you know what? It's beautiful because they, you know, there's always those signs in Buddhism that when someone has become a well-developed practitioner, that this spot again becomes soft. You know, the babies is, right? And so soft that a little piece of grass can go into the crown, very easily penetrate. So that's good. You know, we're not so hard-headed.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I was thinking similarly to that is that for me it's I think it's similar but more almost like there's an opening, there's a space,
space and not constricted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's open. So we have a few more comments here. Alima in the Netherlands says, one needs life. Okay, I already read that. I'm sorry. Nur Latifa says, very helpful with the sound and eye movement. So she's agreeing with you, Karima Gita. Yes, you know, one of the great healers of Murshid's time was the head of the healing concentration, always gave that guidance about the eyes. In fact, it was said, if you want to still the mind, you still the eyes. Mm-hmm. you notice when someone's very excited or they're telling a story that they're very excited about, you notice their eyes will go here, there, and everywhere. It creates an excitement. That's why often we're given, and this crosses all different traditions, right? In Christianity, we're given the cross to contemplate. It stills us. We can contemplate it. In Tibetan Buddhism, we're given different mandalas or statues to meditate upon. In Islam, the beautiful patterns of the tiles one contemplates. These geometric patterns that express great principles of spirituality, but in a more abstract geometric form. So this idea of focusing, just stilling the eyes, will still the mind. So therefore it goes to follow, if the eyes are going upward, the consciousness can be elevated, and then bringing that consciousness through towards manifestation with the eyes downward. Very important.
See the expression on
those. Yeah. It's true, and people start to get more luminous and have more light as we go through the practices. Do you feel like you've been on a magic carpet ride? It always feels a little bit like that for me. Maybe that's just me. Yes.
I'm going to need the write down. Yeah. All this stuff, you give it to us afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It's always, you found us, you got the message through the website email, correct?
Email, right.
We're going to be sending you an email with a link, and in that link, everything will be there.
Everything.
Everything.
Enlightenment. I want enlightenment.
You're always welcome to take this time.
The thing is we are enlightened. We just don't know it yet.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I didn't know whether you knew that or not. I don't want to assume everybody knows and understands that. Oh. It's just remembering.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's exactly what it is. Okay, let's close with the prayer Khatum for those of us that know it. O Thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen. Give us thy great goodness, teach us thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. So if there has been any merit here today, we offer it for the benefit of all beings. May all beings have their needs fulfilled in the most wholesome and generous ways. For those that are listening, consider making an offering online. I know most of you are so very generous. Those that are listening or that I can see are listening are generous. I know that. And people here, we have a little basket to give you an opportunity if you'd like to give something. I have Aloha saying blessings of peace and greetings to myself, Joe, Maggie, and she hears your voice, Mudita. I want to thank everyone here for being here and your kind attention, and I want to thank all the people that have joined us. It's a great joy to hear and see you. Thank you. Love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I think that's it. That's a wrap. That's a wrap.